Ladies, gentlemen, mixed martial arts fans of the world, welcome to episode 8 of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. This is our first episode of the new year of 2016, and it also marks the return of Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. In this episode, we will be comparing a pair of movies, one Hollywood, one Bollywood, both that deal with mixed martial arts. But before we get into the actual show, I want to quickly talk about the release of a new movie trailer that coincidentally also deals with mixed martial arts. It's a trailer for one of my favorite actors in Bollywood, Randeep Hooda. The movie is called Do Love Zo Ki Kahani. The link to the trailer will be in the show notes, so check that out before you keep going. Now, the trailer starts off very mundane. You know, it looks like it's kind of a soft and love, you know, kind of a mediocre love story. Randeep plays Suraj. He looks like a very typical, conventional guy, kind of a loser, doesn't seem too happy, working multiple jobs to essentially pay off all his debt. But there's a point in the trailer where the story shifts and it becomes this kick-ass story where the hero goes balls to the wall and risks his life for his love, and there's all this MMA involved, which looks so fucking cool. And surprisingly enough, the MMA parts look, the action choreography look actually better than one of the movies that we're going to be discussing today. I'm impressed. I'm completely impressed. I'm completely on board. And definitely watch out for Do Love Zo Ki Kahani. The movie apparently is also based on a Korean film. It's a remake. So obviously we're going to cover it on the show. Duh. Do people still say duh? Is that... Okay, well, moving on. So now the only thing of concern to me in Do Love Zo Ki Kahani is that the lead actress is Kajal Agarwal from Singham. But I kind of think Huda's presence kind of cancels out the fact that she's in the movie. But let's move on. Let's get into today's show. I hope everyone had an awesome New Year's Eve. I guess we're a week in, so I guess some of you guys still might be nursing kind of a hangover. Okay, I'll speak softer. Presenting episode 8 of the Split Screen Podcast with Kathy Gibson from Access Bollywood. Go get some protein, guys. Protein. Hello and welcome everyone to another installment of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. Today, once again, I have a returning guest. We've got Miss Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. Kathy, say hi.
Hi, Sha.
How's it going?
Good. Everything's going well. You?
Not too bad. We're going to be talking about the Hollywood movie Warrior and its official remake in Bollywood, Brothers. If you've never heard the show before, we're going to get into spoilers. So if you've never seen Warrior, if you haven't seen Brothers, and you want to be spoiled about either of these movies, keep on listening. If not, watch the movies, come on back, and we'll continue. So really quickly, the Hollywood movie, Warrior, was essentially a fighting movie, but I think it was one of the more serious fighting movies. It was different where the fighting wasn't what the movie was about. It was kind of like an updated version of Rocky almost. It used the fighting structure of MMA fighting, which is more popular these days, and it told a story about a family, about two brothers and a father. The movie was, I thought, was really well. The entire story essentially deals with two brothers who, through circumstances of their own, enter the same fighting MMA competition and end up facing each other. That's not a spoiler. That's in the commercials. And it's all about their journey and essentially why they get there, how they get there, and the family drama of it all that they deal with throughout. It was more of a character-driven story. It was more about the performances, more about the relationships. The MMA was just a backdrop, you know, it was just a plot device for the story to kind of run its course. So that's essentially what Warrior was about. So, Kathy, what do you think about Warrior?
Everybody in this movie is so great, and that's what... I think that, like you said, the sport angle is just sort of giving it a framework for these performances. And it's, I mean, Tom Hardy is downright scary in this. It's mm-hmm. He's terrifying, and it's great. And it's I love this movie. I thought it was terrific, and it having seen it a second time recently, it just holds up so well, and it's, you know, it's it, I guess you can call it a great sports movie, but it really is just a great movie about family conflict. The run-up, I love the way that the information is dispersed throughout this about
Yes.
what has driven this family apart. You know, the Nick Nolte plays a drunken, abusive father, and Tom Hardy's character, Tommy, resents his older brother Brendan, who, because he and his mother, Tommy and his mother, fled. And the plan was that all three, you know, the both boys and the mom would flee from their abusive father. And it happened that Brendan, the older of the two brothers, played by Joel Edgerton, was 16 at the time, and he was in love with a girl and decided to stay where he was. And Tommy has held this burning resentment for the 14 years since he last saw him. So they're both guys around 30 right now. And this kid has had a chip on his shoulder the whole time. And it's amazing to see that, and that you don't get, you know, you get these bits of information, and it's up to the audience to have enough empathy to go, oh yeah, I can imagine what that must have been like. I can imagine how hard it was for a 14-year-old to flee and to feel like his brother let him down. And it's hard to watch, but it's just so compelling, you can't look away.
And it's also like when you talk about like the how the information came out, it was such a slow drip too, right? I mean, it's not there's not one scene where you get the entire backstory. I mean, there's the opening sequence where Tommy meets his dad, the recovering alcoholic who just came back from a meeting, and you get the nature of what happened between them in that first scene. And then throughout the movie, there's all these smaller scenes where the information just slowly just drips out, and you kind of it paints a clearer picture. You get these bits and pieces throughout, but then you put them all together and you go, oh, okay, I understand. You know, the information comes out between the relationships of the characters. There's no flashbacks, there's no exposition, there's no, well, here's what happened. You know, it's just a natural flow of conversation, which I love.
The most explicit conversation is between the two brothers when they eventually meet, which doesn't happen until almost like all, you know, well over an hour into the movie, that where Brendan, who is earlier in that asked his dad, you know, did Tommy ask about me? And his dad says, no. And when they finally get to have that conversation and Brendan tries to reach out, and you realize just how mad Tommy is at his brother. You know, that's like the most exposition you get about why they fell out, and even that is not a very long scene, and it's more about seeing how angry Tommy is, how punitive he is, that he goes out of his way to hurt his dad and his brother. Not that he doesn't have cause to, because this is a guy who feels like everyone in his life has ever abandoned, ever, you know, everybody has abandoned him, and that carries through to his professional life and his, you know, you find out eventually that he's not only an ex-Marine, but he's a deserter who was attacked in a friendly fire incident. And so everybody he's ever put his trust in has betrayed him in some
Including
way.
the US government, which is not unheard of. Let's be real. Okay, so I mean, and again, and all those elements were really great. And the thing is, the cool thing was too, again, when you do some sort of this sort of, you know, a relationship story with, you know, where people hate each other, you kind of, as the audience or as the writers, you kind of have to create a situation where, you know, well, who's right or who's wrong? If someone is clearly wrong, then essentially they're more or less the antagonist of the story, right? I mean, even in like a family drama. But the perfection here was all three characters are equally justified to be frustrated, to be upset, and to be hurt equally. You know, the father maybe more so, because again, a lot of it was he was the catalyst that kind of created the situation. But even him, you feel sorry for the guy throughout, you know, when he's trying to reach out, he's trying to do better, and the kids just kind of, you know, keep slapping his hand away. You feel bad for the guy, just like you feel bad for Tommy, you feel bad for Brandon, and everyone's in a situation where you can't blame anyone for anything that they're doing. You know, you can't say, well, Tommy's being a dick or Brandon's being an ass, you know. No, everyone's hurt, and it's something that you don't really get over. What sort of a review would you give Warrior, or what kind of a rating, sorry, would you give Warrior if you had to, after your first viewing?
I think I wrote about it a little bit at my Letterboxd account, which is just Access Bollywood. And just I mean, out of 4 stars, it's probably a 4-star movie, 3.5, 4 stars. I mean, it really is worth seeing. It's a great example of character development, motivation. I love the writing of it. I love the acting. So it's a must see for me.
Perfect. No, and I think I agree with you. I do more of a 5-star on my site, so I think I would probably give this a 5 out of 5 as well. It's just, again, I don't find any flaws with it. And I think that's a good segue as I need to get into Brothers. Speaking of flaws, so Brothers is the Bollywood version of this. And again, it is, as far as we know, the second official Hollywood remake, where the Hollywood production studio essentially commissioned a Bollywood version, which, weirdly enough, is produced by Dharma Productions, which is Karan Johar's production company. It's directed by Karan Malhotra, which I saw the new Agnipath. He was the debut director for that movie, and it was a brilliant adaptation. So I expected this to be just as well. But without, you know, letting without getting into our personal reactions, did you want to give a quick rundown of the Brothers storyline synopsis? I mean, not that it's going to differ much. And FYI, this is where we're going to get into major spoilers for Brothers. So if you haven't seen it, you know, listen at your own discretion.
Yeah, it really does. It's a copy of Warrior. I mean, they even credit Gavin O'Connor, the original writer and director, for his screenplay. There were adaptations made by Karan Malhotra and his wife.
Yep.
And it starts with Jackie Shroff's character, the father, getting out of prison, and as opposed, he's an ex-alcoholic, but by virtue of having dried out in jail, and he is a wreck when he comes out of prison. And his younger son, played by Siddharth Malhotra, no relation to the director, is the one who picks him up. And in kind of a reverse, well, I guess I'll just tell the story. I won't get into too many comparisons just yet, although it's so hard
It's
not
so hard. I know you're telling me this nonsense. I'm sitting here going, shut up, shut up.
to. We find out that Jackie Shroff's character is really suffering from the death of his wife. He comes back to his home and just sees her ghost everywhere. And young Siddharth, I guess I should call him by their character names. Jackie
Right.
Shroff plays Gary Fernandez. Siddharth plays
Monty.
Monty. And then his older brother is played by Akshay Kumar, David. And David is nowhere to be seen. And so David, like the elder brother character in Warrior, is a physics teacher and an ex-fighter. And he has a daughter with a kidney condition and is running out of money, and so loses his job as a teacher because he fights illicitly. And then he and Monty both wind up trying to compete in India's first televised MMA fight. And you know, Monty ba or David is out to raise money for his family. Monty's just out to avenge himself against the
For
wrongs he
God
feels David
knows
is.
what, let's be honest.
I think on its own, it's so hard to not compare them directly, especially when you have such a good example. But whatever changes Malhotra make, this is so boring by comparison. It's just so boring. There's not a lot of motivation either. With, you know, the great thing about Warriors, all the character motivation, and it's so it. You know, yes, having a sick kid and trying to pay for her dialysis—that's obviously pretty easy, and which is a little different from the original as well, because
Right.
there's reference in the original that Brendan has a daughter who had some health problems, but their current problem is that their house is about to be foreclosed upon, and in this, David's daughter—it's the only problem is her
Right.
kidney dialysis. And so there, you get all these scenes of him in the hospital with his daughter, and it's too easy. It's just a kind of
It
cheap
is.
play.
And you know what it is, and with Bollywood again, they do this a lot. And again, I didn't particularly like it when they did this in Kick, but whenever you use a child as a sort of like a plot point, you know, to kind of invoke sympathy and to invoke hardship and trauma and tragedy, it doesn't work for me, because just because they do it so often. Like, And sometimes it's completely out of the blue. Because, I mean, again, you look at the original movie, which, I swear, Warrior had maybe, I think, two scenes of reference about the kid being sick. The first one with the mortgage lender, which was a throwaway line, which was, you know. And the second scene was with, I forget his name, but Frank, the trainer, Brandon's trainer, who, and he simply, and that's not even a conversation either. That's simply that, hey, man, I was a dick. I didn't call you when your kid was sick. Oh, don't worry about it, man. It's cool. She's better now. End of discussion. What I took away from Brothers was essentially that the movie is too Bollywood. The changes made in Brothers from Warrior were intentional changes which were inherently Bollywood. These are Bollywood tropes that you don't see in other movies. You don't even see them in the good Bollywood movies. But if you look at these changes, so for, right away, again, like I said, so Warrior had Brendan being essentially, you know, crushed by his financial burden. And this was just due to the economic times. This was 2011. The recession just hit in 2008. So this was something that a lot of people were kind of going through at the time. So this made sense.
I will point out a great thing I like about the opening of Warrior is that it's this, the credits roll over scenes of Pittsburgh, which for anybody who may be listening outside the U.S., it used to be an industrial powerhouse. It was a big city, and it's just been declining as our production has shipped overseas. And so you're seeing a whole town in decline and people struggling to cope with that. This is a very working class movie, and then you open, you first see Nick Nolte's character, this broken man coping, you know, trying to cope with changes. So there's a real sense of place that these, you know, the context for what these problems are, and you don't get that in Brothers.
Right, and again, like in Brothers, when they change the realistic problems that a lot of people have of essentially just trying to survive in an economy, you change that to, you know, the plot point of, well, your kid's sick, you know, medical bills pile up, which again, I'm not saying people don't go through that, but like you said, it's really easy. Like, why can't, again, and again, India, there's economic struggles in India as well. So why did the writers think that the audience won't be able to relate to a family that's just going through financial troubles, that, you know, doesn't have to be this, you know, one catalyst that causes it, where you milk the tears from. You know, and so that's one of the changes that I felt, again, was something that was inherently Bollywood. Like you mentioned in the synopsis for Warrior, Tom Hardy gets an amazing backstory in Warrior. He's a deserter. He has a friend's, you know, family that he promised he was going to support, which is what motivates him to get into the competition for the cash prize. What the hell is Monty's motivation? What is his? He just kind of falls into it, and then, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, because when you see Paddy Conlon, Nick Nolte's character, and Tom Hardy's character decide that they're going to train, they establish a regimen. They say, I'm going to watch your shit. You got to give up these stupid drugs that you're on. You got to stop drinking. Whereas for Monty, sure, I think Jackie Shroff says that at one time. Gary says that to his son. But up until the moment he has his first fight, Monty's still trying to get, you know, hammered.
Well, and also, I don't really know when they agreed to be trainer and protege. Right. Because there's this big training montage song, and they're doing all this, like, Ninja Warrior.
Which was brilliant. They constructed bench press machines out of carburetors. Come on!
It's so great. And then, and all of a sudden, Jackie Shroff's just in the background. I'm like, when the heck did he, how is he involved in
this? He's doing his approving nods and his muted encouraging yells.
Exactly. What cracks me up about the lack of backstory for Monty is that, so you find out that Monty is actually David's half brother. He's the product of an affair by Gary, and yet you see all these flashbacks. Again, there are no flashbacks in Warrior. There's just a ton of flashbacks in Brothers. And you see Shefali Shah plays the mom. And she has a really good scene where she's so angry at first.
Yeah.
But she sees that he's just a kid. You know, she's just, his mom is dead. And so she becomes his new mother. And the two brothers are very close. And so the big reveal of the movie is what fractured
the family. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Spoiler, spoiler. is that there's a fight between Shefali Shah and Jackie Shroff. He punches her and ends up killing her. And it's in her dying moments, and it's a totally over-the-top death scene. She reaches out to Monty, indicating that he is her son as well, you know, as David is sitting next to her.
Right.
And David tells Monty, you know, this is all your fault, and basically kicks him out. So Dad's in the clink. Monty's been kicked out, except the problem is that these kids are teenagers or preteens.
Yeah.
You know, and so Monty is probably, I don't know, 13, 14 when this happens. So,
yeah, he looks something like that.
And we have no idea what happens from that point until his dad gets out of jail, which is, I think, like 14 years later.
Right.
So who took care of him? Was he on the street? How does he have the rights to the family home?
Right.
There's no explanation.
Did this 13-year-old just maintain this house all on his own? Like, what?
Yeah. I you have no idea what he's been up to for 14 years.
They're actually... So, again, and this is... I don't know if you missed it, and you could have. There's one line in this movie. There's a throwaway line when they're in the fight, in Brothers I'm talking about, when they're doing the fight and the sports commentators are talking background about the fighters, there is one throwaway line about Monty and how he grew up in an orphanage.
Oh, that is it.
That is, and again, I heard and I'm like, oh, is that all we're doing? Okay, cool.
I don't know if you've caught the other great line from the commentators.
Those guys were amazing.
So the commentators provide, you know, background for the whole fight, which takes up like the last like hour of the film. But at one point, the commentators, when Monty makes his entrance, they say, "Oh, Monty, and his coach is also his father, who just got out of jail for killing his mother." Yeah. So let's see if that angst can fuel
him. Oh, I love that! I love that. It's just. You know what it is? Again, it's what you said, right? It's too easy. I mean, these guys, even the flashbacks, right? Like, in Warrior, the story comes out through just conversation. Here, it's almost like the writers aren't talented enough to do that. So they're like, fuck it, we'll just show it. Mm-hmm. We'll just have Unit B direct all this shit, and we'll just show it. It's just so bad, because, first of all, the whole half-brother thing, again, such a Bollywood thing to do, right? Because you can show severe, you know, hatred between blood brothers. Like, that's a construct that's going to be too elusive for the audience. Like, yeah, man, people fight. People get into horrible things. People have circumstances where they don't talk to each other for years. It's a very common concept here, you know, where you don't even talk to your own parents probably for years because of whatever issues happen. You know, nothing as poignant or significant as a long, drawn-out death scene. But... I just thought that was a cop out. I thought that was such a cop out that you're gonna show hatred between brothers, but well, they can't be real brothers because that's too unrealistic. Let them be half brothers because then that'll make sense. The audience will relate to that. Oh yeah, it's his half brother, so obviously he's gonna hate him. Like yeah. That, I thought that was just a cop out for the Indian audience.
I was fighting back. I think I laughed out loud when David has Monty in a chokehold and says, "Monty, I can't keep hurting you. Well, get him out of the chokehold. That's step one." Yeah, I was laughing out loud because when Akshay even does a double take when he looks over his brother crumpled in the ring, and he blinks and gets this kind of what the expression,
so bad.
And he sees Monty as a smiling little boy. Oh, it's the worst because it's so unearned. Because as you said, this is the first conversation in the, you know, final battle. That's the first conversation between Monty and David in the entire movie, which means that David never has reached out. David, unlike in Warrior, where Brendan is, you know, feels bad that he doesn't have a relationship with his younger brother, David, as far as we know, still hates Monty. He still has not grown out of this, and he still blames Monty for existing and ruining his family. And so, what are we supposed to believe that he's going to care? Does he really even see this
right.
kid as his brother? You know, it's.
And it took one line from Monty to change his mind, though. Yeah. That you didn't think she was my mom too. Well, you didn't. You couldn't think of that on your own. Like, all these years of self-reflection, and you can figure out that he's fucking alone, his dad's in prison, you at least got a girl and made your own family, he's living on the streets or in an orphanage or God knows what?
The biggest mistake for me in this adaptation is that the Malhotras think that David is a hero. And, okay, I feel bad for the guy, he's got a sick kid. It makes you sympathetic. It doesn't make you a good person. And so he kicks out his little brother when the kid is just a preteen. You know, he's totally cut off his father, which, you know, reasonable. But when he finally starts to want to have a relationship with his family, which all happens in the ring, it's because some guy, one of the other fighters from Italy, kicks his dad. And
oh,
then he gets this hilarious, unintentionally hilarious expression as he, you know, gets outraged. So he beats up the guy and continues beating on him after the guy is unconscious. Meanwhile, all of his high school physics students are watching this on TV.
Yeah.
trying to kill this person for no good reason other than, like, he kicked my dad. And then, you know,
the dad that I've hated for years and had nothing to do with,
yeah,
and shoved myself like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's okay when he hits his own dad, but not when anybody else does. And so it's just, I don't believe that he really wants this. And I don't believe that he deserves it. I don't, you know.
No, and he doesn't. And he doesn't. And that's what I mean. Like, there's all these external things happening that kind of moves the story forward, but not really. Like, again, why is Monty selected to be in this competition? Just because he beat up the other guy that was? He's never even expressed a desire to be in this competition, yet there he is. And again, like you said, the same thing. Like, their problems, David doesn't have realization that, oh, maybe I should, you know, kind of fix things with my dad. We need that external push of someone hitting his dad for him to go apeshit, and then his dad sitting there going, oh, my son loves me because he's trying to kill a guy. One of the things about Warrior that was really great was the fact that, you know, Tommy, because he was a deserter from the army, was using his mom's maiden name, which is how no one knew that these two guys in the same competition are brothers, mm-hmm. which makes sense. This movie, entitled Brothers, features two characters in the ring sharing a table at one point in a press conference who have the same last name, same background, same nationality, the same fucking haircut, for crying out loud. And there's a dad, and they know all this background information about Monty and his dad going to jail and how so-and-so's a physics teacher, yet no one puts together until literally the last scene that these two are brothers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the performances really quickly. We talked about Monty. Siddharth, I don't feel like he had anything to do in the movie. He was just kind of there because they needed another name, I think.
I'm guessing he was willing to submit to training for this. That's the only other thing I can think
what
of.
Training?
I don't understand the casting in this movie, except, I mean, I know that Akshay Kumar in real life is a trained martial artist, but he's supposed to be a guy who's around 30.
And he looks older, though.
Yeah,
let's be fair. He looks a little older for some reason.
Well, because he kept his beard, and he's got gray hair in his beard. And that's,
it's white.
You know,
he's got
white hair in his beard. And so you have this guy with this white, graying beard, who looks like who in real life is on the backside of 40.
Yeah.
He looks more like Siddharth's dad.
Yep.
And then, like, you've got Grandpa Jackie Schroff watching them. Even if he just would have shaved,
you know,
I think it changes it.
Color it. I'm sure that's something that they do, right?
Yeah, they've got, you know, just for men.
Diet.
They have a beard dye formula.
And then you could do endorsements for that, too. It makes more money for the movie. What do you think about Jackie Schroff? Speaking of Jackie Schroff, what do you think about Jackie Schroff in Nick Nolte's role?
It was okay. It was kind of, they kind of flipped the timeline for everything where he's crazier at first. And I don't know. I didn't think he had as much to do. He goes nuts at the beginning, as opposed to Nick Nolte's character has a breakdown later in a great scene.
Which has so much more impact, because he tries to keep his shit together for the rest of the movie, and at the last scene he breaks down. And that's kind of the scene, that's kind of like Nolte's crescendo of the performance.
Yeah.
That's kind of when he signs out, right?
Yeah.
Or taps out, pun intended. But you're right. In this movie, first of all, I think Jackie Schroff was amazing. I think this was one of those rare situations where his performance was brilliant, but completely out of fucking context for this movie that he's in this story. If his performance for this movie was like a demo reel for the things he could do for him to be cast in other films, this would be amazing. Like, he has so much range here. He goes from aggressive to serious. And I think it was all direction. I think, you know, his inconsistency was simply because of the director going, hey, go nuts here, go fucking psychotic. And he did, and I thought he did a great job. But in the context of the story, it was like, are you like going through detox? Are you delusional? Are you having some sort of crisis? Are you having a nervous breakdown? Like, what is it?
I think Shefali Shah is the mom is great. And
she is, yeah.
The two of them, they're, you know, her performances alongside Jackie Shroff are really good. It's too bad that the women, both Shefali and Jacqueline, have to cry in like every scene. They don't have that many scenes to begin with, and they're just always in tears, and so that's kind of disappointing. But I will mention one thing related to that family. The funniest, single funniest part of the movie is that their daughter is named Poo Poo.
Yes.
And there was a group of women in the theater who I honestly laughed out loud every single time anyone said her name. And it was why they chose that name. The girl's real name is Maria.
Which
is
brilliant.
It's not like her name's Poonam or Pooja or something like that, where Poo would, or some version of that, would be a logical nickname. Don't name your character Poo-Poo. Lesson for everybody.
I'm going to go on a huge conspiracy connection here. So this movie was produced by Karan Johar, mm-hmm. who's one of his breakouts were Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, which was one of the breakouts for also Kareena Kapoor, whose name was in the movie, whose nickname was Pooja, and it was Poo, who makes a guest appearance in this movie in a song. Excellent. There you go, Gossip Mag. Something for you guys to freak out about. Okay, so let's wrap this up. So in terms of clearly, critically, we both are in agreement that Warrior was a much better movie of that story than Brothers was an adaptation of it.
Yes.
I think that's everything for today. Kathy, thank you so much for being here again. Why don't you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me at accessbollywood.com. And on Twitter, I'm at Kathy F. Gibson.
Perfect. And also, both of us have reviewed Brothers recently, so check out our websites to get more in-depth thoughts about this movie.
So let's ring the bell on this episode as we tap out this week. For more Split Screen podcasts, subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher or your preferred podcasting app. Visit the website at blankpagebeatdown.com to listen to the show directly on your browser. Subscribe to the site itself with your email in the top corner for all my random rants and reviews of Bollywood and Hollywood movies. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at TheShahShahid. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. Email me any comments, suggestions, critiques, or hate mail in general at shah@blankpagebeatdown.com. If you're a fan of the show, please leave me a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you're interested in being on the show to compare a movie with its remake, please get in touch with me at any of the above contact information, Twitter, email, and, you know, let's make it happen. So I gotta go now. I gotta work off all that eggnog from the holidays. So, Shah out.